Hello, let's get started. My name is Jens Trier Rasmussen. I work in the Link product group in the Enterprise Deployment Engineering team. And together with my partner in crime, Andrew, I've been working on this call quality methodology. We had a part one session before launch, actually the first session of the day. How many participated in that session? Okay. Nice of you to be back. I will include some introduction for the people who weren't at the first part. But basically what I want to do is I want to look in details into the queries we use to surface information from the quality of experience database. So all the demos will be spent in SQL Management Studio looking at SQL queries statements. I will also get some internals into the QoE database, how is it structured, and how you can use it for your own usage. So if that is not what you are looking for, you should take the opportunity now to find another session. But I'm pleased if you stay. But I just wanted to give you the chance of sneaking out without being punished. Okay. All this call quality methodology is a way that we, based on the work we have done internally at Microsoft and with some of our largest customers, have found a way, a process, and some tools to help customers overcome any audio quality issues they have in their environment. We have focused on audio, but the same concepts that we use can be used for video also and desktop sharing. But so far, we are only looking at audio. Here in the graph, you see some charts from the customer we have worked with where they have used our tools and process and gone from being red on all these different squares to being green. So it is actually something that you can take and replicate the same kind of success. Let's move on. So why is it a problem with achieving good call quality? The issue is that it's very complex thing and dependencies from one endpoint to the other endpoint through the network. And on the chart here, I've tried to list the different media paths that exist in a Link deployment. So you have internal clients and remote clients talking to each other, talking to some of the servers talking to each other, and so on. And I have just single arrows, but you can imagine that from in a worldwide network, you will have many network elements, many subnets, routers, and switches from one endpoint to the other, and they could all have an impact on the audio quality. And what we are trying to do is to surface information that we are gathering with the quality of experience to help you find out exactly where the problem is in your network. It's not only about the network, it's also about servers and endpoint devices and so on. And we have queries to support looking at these things. We also have the key health indicators that looks at performance counters on the servers. And all this is documented in a guide called the Link 2013 Networking Guide. It has a lot of very good information about how Link used network, and then we added content in Appendix C, talking about CQM and the queries and the process. And a colleague of ours, Ken Tilger, he added content for Appendix D, showing how he troubleshooted call quality issues with a customer, and how you can use the same techniques that he presents there to troubleshoot your environments. So as I said, we look at quality in three ways. The servers, if they are not performing, then any endpoint on the server, so a conference or the mediation server, might give bad quality. So first you need to make sure that the servers are running correctly. And we have one of the posters is about the key health indicators. And you can also download That tool, it is Excel spreadsheet and some scripts to collect the performance monitor counters from the network. That's all based, servers are based on performance monitor counters. The other two elements are based on data we look at in the QoE database, so inside the monitoring server and monitoring store in 2013. So we look at endpoints, system, media path, transport, and so on. Could the endpoint be the cause for the bad quality? If not, we look at that network. How is the network behaving between these different endpoints? We look at all the audio streams in different ways, and then we can say, okay, maybe the problem is this router or this subnet and so on, and that will give you an idea of how to advance the troubleshooting. So that was the introduction. Any questions about CQM? Yeah? I'm not sure we say don't use it, but you need to make sure what impact they have. I mean, we have customers using packet shapers. I think that's kind of the same technology. And as long as you configured it correctly, it works. But it's just an added element which can cause problems in the network. So I'm not sure. I don't think we say do never use it, but make sure that you have configured it correctly. So now I want to delve into the QoE database. So as I said previously, all media endpoints send these quality information to the monitoring database after each call. So if you look at the UUC API log from your client, you can see an XML block being sent to the server after the call. And what the server does, it takes those QoE reports and collects them and put them in the database and enables you to look at them using queries or the monitoring server reports that we have configured out of the box. You need to enable the QoE information, and I have described how to do it here. And one thing you need to, first, of course, you need to enable it, but you also need to look at if you want to purge data out of the database. If you purge data out of the database, there is a limit for how long you can go back and see trends and history. What we recommend is that you do some purging of the production database and then move data to like an archive where you can then have longer periods of data for longer periods of time in that archive. Because our experience is, and also some of our customers, is that if you just keep all the data in the production database, it will become huge and you will have performance challenges when running queries or the monitoring server reports against the data. So that's one recommendation we have, that you try to move it to an archive. And you can, if you are not familiar with the deployment you are looking at, you can see where the monitoring database in 2013, which SQL server and which instance contains the monitoring database by using the last command here. The database format and the actual database instance are different between 2020 and 2013. So it means that if you have a coexistence environment where you both have 2010 and 2013, there is a challenge because each environment will lock its information in its own database. So there is no way to correlate information. So if you have a call from a guy on 2010 to a guy on 2013, each in will log its own information, but there will be no correlation. And you will also see the impact of such a configuration when you run the queries, because the way the queries look at the data and join the different tables means that such streams will not be surfaced. And that's on purpose, and I will tell you why when I go through it. So the recommendation is here, make the coexistence phase quick. So move quickly from 2010 to 2013, if it's possible. Or live with the issue that you have separate environments. The database schema is different. So there are newer tables in 2013, and some of the tables have newer rows. or columns. So I've listed the reference to the database there. Some of the main differences are that we now support both video and application sharing media streams. And we have become a lot better to store information about subnets and IP addresses. If you have worked with 2010, you know it's a bit of a nightmare to get the networking information out of the QoE database. We also have a classified poor call flag now, both for audio, video, and application sharing. And for that reason, we have moved the location of that flag to the media line table, and I will show you that. And then we have some new views that you can use where we are doing all the joins for you. I still recommend using our queries because then you make sure that you are actually getting what you are supposed to get. But the views are there. I think I talked about these things. We know it can be a problem to have some customers want to have multiple instances, but just realize that there is nothing. We don't help you in any way with having multiple instances. And we have worked with customers who wanted to try to solve the problem themselves, and they have given up. So my recommendation is try to go with one instance. Okay, let me try to move on to some database internals. Some of this stuff has not been documented previously, so feel free to reuse it. Some of the tables that you need to look at in the database, I've listed them here and given you an idea of what we use those tables for. So the session table, there is one row per session. So if two guys are talking peer-to-peer, it's one session. If a guy is in a conference, it's one session for each conference participant. Then we have a media line table, which is like a kind of hierarchy. You have the session first, then you have media lines, and then you have audio streams, video streams, or application steering streams beneath that, depending on what kind or what type of media line you have. Then the queries use a lot the different type of clients. So is it a desktop client? Is it a wireless client? Is it a wired? Is it Link Mobile? Is it the AVMCU? Is it mediation server and so on? And that information is coming out of the user agent dev table, which defines these different types of clients, and the actual user agent, which stores information, the type, and the version. So you can even say, okay, I only want to look at desktop clients with Link 2013 CU2 or whatever. So you can get very detailed information out of those tables. And of course, then there is the user table, which have all the users in your environment. We are not using that a lot in our queries, but it's something that you would have to use if you want to troubleshoot and be more specific about who is impacted by a given issue you have found. In 2013, we have the network connection detail table, which says, is it wired, wireless, mobile, broadband? For instance, if you're using your mobile telephone over 3G data, it will be mobile, broadband, and so on. And then we have the IP address table, which stores the subnet. Those two are new for 2013 and makes it a lot easier to work with. Then I just wanted to show the views, the new views in 2013. So here are the names of the view that you can lose. So how are these tables related? So here I have tried to describe this hierarchy. So we have the session table, and it has a child like the media line table, and then the media line has children for audio stream, app sharing, and video. And in bold, you see the columns or the fields you need to join for to connect the dots between the tables. So the conference date time, you can see, that is in all of them, and the session sequence. So you will use those and the media line label to join the table together. And I have demos explaining that. Some of the relevant columns that we use in our queries I've listed here. So in the media line table, there is the value called media line label, and it specifies if this is audio, video, app sharing, and then we have all the new gallery view video streams in 2013. So in 2010, you only have audio and video, and then in 2013, audio and video and panoramic. So 0, 1, and 2 are in 2010. And in 2013, you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Because we support five video streams in the gallery view. Then the column, the conference date time, is very important because you need to use that when you do the join. And that is the time the server got the report, the QoE report. So it's stamped that time on the column. We also have start time and end time, so when the call started and when it stopped. But the queries all use the conference date time for the join, and that's what you have to do to join correctly. And also the session sequence. The session sequence is there if you have two reports coming into the server at exactly the same time, then you need to differentiate. So you will see 0 or 1 for the session sequence. And here, there is a field called sender is caller PAI. And we use that a lot. And what that means is for 0, the audio stream is from in the direction from the caller, from the callee, sorry, to the caller. And if it's 1, the stream is coming from the caller to the callee. And I will show you how it looks. So that way you can see, okay, I have a session between two persons. Which audio stream is going from which client? And that's often important to understand that because you want, if the quality is only coming from in one direction, you need to understand which direction it's coming from. And then finally, we are using a lot the caller inside and callee inside, meaning is this user connected to the edge or is he connected directly to the front end? And 0 means connected via the edge, and caller, sorry, 1 means that is connected directly inside the environment. One other thing you need to understand when you look at the data is how many of these tables, session, media line, and audio stream, are you getting in different scenarios? And I've tried to describe it here. So if you have a P2P session between two clients, you have only one session, and then you have one media line with audio, with number 1, and you have two audio streams because one is sending and one is receiving. So that's 2. And then you can have one application sharing media line, and you can have one or two streams depending on if both are sharing, you will see 2 streams. If only one is sharing, you will see 1 stream. And the same for video, so 1 or 2 streams. And the reason why you might see 2 video streams is shown with the one here, that you can have the normal video and you can also have panoramic video if you have a round table attached to your client. And then if you're on a conference, you will have session equal to the number of participants. So if you have 10 people in a conference, you will have 10 sessions. And then for each of those sessions, you will have either 1 audio, 1 application sharing, and 1 to 7 for video if all are turning on their video. And interesting, in the conference, you might see 3 video streams. And the reason is that the Link 2013 client will send H.264 video encoded to all the 2013 users, and then it will send the old codec, the RT video codec, to 2010 users. And you will also see that in the database. So how do you then join all of these things together to get, like, the full picture? So here I have written the SQL queries the way you need to join. So you need to join from the session, the media line, and the audio stream and you need to join with the conference date, the session sequence, media line labels in the way I have it here. So that's how all the queries are built, that they join the tables together in this way, and that shows all sessions related, or sorry, all streams related to one session. And when you do the result of the select, you have access to all rows for that. I mean, you have one row per stream, and you have access to all the columns. And I've tried to, I'm not very good with the graphics, but I've tried to show it here. So you have like, you have the same session, the same media line label, but then you have one stream from caller to callee and one stream from callee to caller. Okay. Doing these joins, that's kind of performance intensive. So if, depending on what you're looking at, you might go about without joining or on everything. So for instance, if you're only interested in sessions, you don't need to join for the audio streams. In fact, if you do join for the audio streams, you will have too much data returned, because you get one session per audio stream. So if you are counting something on the session, like level, then you will count too much, because you're also getting one count for each audio stream that you're looking at. If you're only looking at understand network location, it's enough to join to media line, because all the networking information, location information, is stored on the media line level or table. And the same with audio sessions. If you're only looking at audio sessions, you don't need to join the streams. You just need to look at the media line label called zero, because that's for audio. Similar, if you want to look at video, you can look at one or two. And then if you want to look at audio streams like what we are doing, you need to join on everything. Okay? So let me try to Let me try to demo some of all this. there is no test included here, so feel free to relax. Here, I have SQL Server running on my PC, and I have taken a copy of my QoE database from my lab, and that's what I'm using for these queries. And I have found a conference with some interesting data I can show you. So here I just declare, the beginning I declare the conference date time I need to look at. Normally you wouldn't do this because you want to look at more than just one conference, but in this case to show the relationships, I did it that way. And then I do the select only on the session table. So that gives me the first result here. So there is a session at this conference date time from TU25 to the AVMCU of user TU14. So this is an audio conference. Then, and you see that only gives me one row, so only one session. Then I want to look at the media line. So which media lines were in this audio session? So that's the next select statement. And here you see the result if I try to move it up. So you see I have like seven media lines for this session, and that tells us that all the modalities were in use in that conference. In fact, it only tells us that there was audio and video in that conference. And can anyone tell me why we are not showing application sharing in this conference? Yes? Yeah, it's so you are partly right. So it's a separate endpoint. You see, I'm talking to the AV MCU. I'm not talking to the app sharing MCU. That's why. Do we have more prizes? Do we have more of these? Sorry. Come and see us afterwards in the booth, and you can get a prize for the answer. So you have the media line. So all this is audio and video. I didn't have roundtable panoramic video in this session, so there is no line media label 2. Then I want to look at all the audio streams. So the next I'm doing is I look at the audio stream for this particular session I was looking at before. And here are the audio streams. So this is the result here. And you see, sender is caller. Can't see myself. So you see, sender is caller PII. So this guy is the audio coming from test user 25 into the AV MCU, and this guy is the audio coming back from the AV MCU. And likewise, the next select, I look at the video streams, and here you see the video streams related to that session. And then, as the gentleman said, now I do select with another conference date time, because that's the one I know went to the app sharing MCU. So you see the result here is the session to the app sharing MCU. So we have application sharing here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. And there you get, again, I do the, I get the select on the media line and the select on the app sharing. And you see the media line label 3 is for app sharing. And you see here 2 app sharing streams. So both presented. So several people in the conference presented app sharing. So hopefully this has shown the relationship between the different tables and how you can look at the stream. So in my case, if you have a report of a conference with bad quality, you can use selects like those to look at exactly what streams were in that conference for all the participants and get an idea of what the problem might be. So that was demo 1. Any questions for demo 1? Okay. Sorry. No, though these are not, because they are specific to my lab, but I have other queries I will show later in the demo where I look at specific users or specific conference, and I can make them available. Yeah, I could make those available if you just want to see the queries, but you won't be able to run them. So that was the first demo. One other very key thing about the QoE database, and in fact also about the LCS CDR database, is all this is based on foreign key relationships. So one table has a pointer to another table where you can pick up the actual data that you are interested in looking at. That's why you need to do all these joins, because they are not all in one table. So you need to join different tables together. And I've put some examples here. For instance, if you want to look at users, they are on the session level, and the caller URI and the caller URI. But that's not the SIP, that's not the SIP address. It's actually an index, a key into another table. So the primary key of that table is the user table with the column user key. And then if you joined correctly, you can get the actual URI out of that table and reference the URI column in that table. And the same here with media line, caller IP address, and so on. So that's key to understand. That's how they have created the tables. I'm not an SQL guy, but I assume that that's the way you would do it. At least the way we have been doing it. So I have another demo, so let me get, sorry. And I was not lying. I was not an SQL guy when I started with this, right? So I read the networking guy, and I talked to the guy who had created the queries there, and then I did my own labbing and came up with it. So it's, you don't need to be an SQL guy. And I hope with this presentation, you don't have to start the same place as I did. Yeah. So what is column relationship demo 2? Oh yeah, so if we go to the session table and I select all and I, you can see, for instance, this guy, it says 1,070. That's the caller. But it doesn't say his IP address. Then you have to go to user. And there you get the key. And this is the guy. So that's how you would do it manually. And if you do the joining, it will happen for you. Okay. So let's get back to this guy. So one important thing about the queries that we have created is that they are all using inner joins. And I couldn't understand why I was not getting the data I knew was in the database until I studied and I understood the difference between inner joins and left joins. So with inner joins, when you join two tables, and that's what you need to do because of this foreign key relationship and the media line and the auto stream and so on. If you do inner join, you only get like this part of the total data in both tables. So you only have like, you only get results. What is it called in English? Is it the common? Yeah. So in Danish, it's called fællesmængden. I don't know. It's a math term. I think it's called something with common. Yeah. So you get it here. So it means if there is no value in table 2, you won't get anything from table 1. And that's the thing that you will see when you start working with it, that you can see you have data in table 1, but because there is nothing in table 2, reference it. You won't see it. If you have a need to see everything, you do the left join. Because then you see you get all this, you get the intersection and you get everything in table 1. But in our case, we are interested in values for table 2, so I only have one query using left joins. All of them are using inner joins. Because I need to look at information in table 2. That's the way the queries are. And so the only thing it means is that if you have a test lab and you know that you have placed 50 calls and you use our queries, it might only show that you have made 40 calls. Because for some reason or the other, maybe you have 2010 and 2013, maybe some of the clients are not sending in the information you are looking for. Then you won't get all the data. So that's just something to have in mind. That sometimes when you're looking, maybe someone is asking you to troubleshoot something and you are using some of the queries, and then you say, but I can't find anything. Then what you have to do is to lessen what you are joining. So instead of doing all this foreign key joining, you need to find manually, like I did, the different values, right? So this is a key thing. I don't know if I explained it correctly, but if not, come and see me afterwards. And I have a demo to try to show how this works. So let me get rid of these guys. I need demo 3. Okay. On this guy, Fiat size. Okay, so that was my demo 2. Sorry, I did it manually, but I can run it. So here you see this foreign key thing I was talking about, right? So the in the session, it has only 1174. And here I'm looking in the, it has 1112 and 1174. And here I'm looking with exactly that user key in the user table, like what I did manually, select all the. And then when I do the join, I get the correct translation of 1112 and 1174 here. But that was not the the demo I wanted. I wanted demo 3. It would have been a lot easier if you could label those windows. Here we go. So what I'm trying to show here is the following. I run the query, and you can see the first the first select statement is like the one I normally do, session, media line, and audio stream. And that returns 438 rows. Then I do a join more. So I want to look at the IP. I want to look at caller subnet. So that's one of the things I look at in my queries is the subnet. So I want to see the caller subnet. That's important for me. So I do a join on the caller subnet. And I count how many rows I then get back. And you see, now I only get 389 rows back. That's because, for some reason, the difference between 438 and 389, those rows have nothing for caller subnet. Maybe it's the mobile client. I've seen that the mobile client, when it sends in the information about calls, it's not sending in the subnet. And it's because, at least on Windows Phone, we are not able to get the subnet out of the base operating system. And I've done a lot of tests with Windows Phone, so I think that's the majority of these things. And then at the end of the query, I can see, instead of doing inner joins, so here I do inner join, the one I added, then I do left join. And now I suddenly get all the rows. But it doesn't really help me because I want to have the subnet information available. But that's what I'm looking at. So if I had shown the subnet here, I would have rows where the subnet was null. That's the difference between the inner joins and the left joins. Okay? So that was like the internals of the QoE database and how the queries use those internals. Now I want to talk more about the queries and how they are actually built. So you know, we are interested at looking at these different media paths. And what we are interested to see is which endpoints are talking to each other, clients, servers, and so on. What is their location? Are they inside or outside of the network? And what kind of connection type are they using? Are they wired, wireless, mobile, broadband, and so on? So that's the three things that we are looking at in all the queries to specify the different paths that we are interested in. So how does it work? For media paths, the type of client and server, they are stored in the user agent table as discussed previously. And we have this foreign key relationship between caller and callee user agent on the session level and the actual, I think there should have been a, yeah, so in the user agent table, The key is user agent key, and then the value is the user agent and the UA type. So that's for the user agent, and let's see how it looks in the environment. So I go to the user agent table. And here you see there are a lot of rows, sorry, and all those rows represent client that has connected to my environment and sent media streams. So you can see I've been using the Link 2013 client with this version, and it is of type 4. So the UA type 4 is desktop client. Then I have the Exchange UM running these specific versions, and the UA type of Exchange UM is like this. And so on, it continues, right? So you can see, if I want to look at streams going between mediation server and AVMCU, I need to look at streams with UA types 1 and 2. So that's how we built the queries to make sure we look at those specific paths each time. And if you have many, so in my environment, I run daily builds of Link. So I have many Link clients. Typically in your environment, you will only run with the released versions of the different client, right? So you would have less amount of different versions. But it also tells you that if you really want, you can create a query only looking at this specific version. It's actually the same version that we use to prevent clients from signing into the server, right, if you create these filters on the server. So that's the user agent table. And the actual definition are in this table. So here you see the different types that we have and the name. So that's the types I use in the query. Question to the user agent table. Yeah?
For an external call, the external client that you call, that shows whether it's a Skype client or a...
So we will only show the Skype client if it's a federated call. And I think the way we do the federation is it turns out to be a PSTN call. It wouldn't show the, there is not a type for Skype in here. Yeah?
Not yet.
I don't know. It's not there, at least. Okay, let me move on. But it will show the right, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's internal or external, it will show the UA type if it was a Link client. So that was the user agent table. Then we have the location. So that's just on the media line level, caller inside, caller, callee inside, 1 and 2 as I discussed. I don't have a demo showing this. I hope that you can get it. So here is the interesting thing for the connection type. So which network, is it wired or wireless? And here is the difference between 2010 and 2013. In 2010, the place where this was stored was in another place. And we were only using the numbers 1, 0, and 1. And the way we are doing it in 2013, we are using text instead of the numbers. But we have pre-created the table so cleverly that we have 0 for wired and 1 for Wi-Fi. So we pre-create the table with those values. Otherwise, you would see, for instance, for the user agent table, that is created each row, each time a different client signs in. So there is no guarantee which is the first one. So if you, the very first day of the Link deployment, signs in with the Link for Mac client, the first entry will be for Link for Mac. And the same would have been the case here if the first time we signed in was with wireless would have been 0 But that would have created problems for people who are using the old way of querying. So that's why we are pre-creating those two rows with this small hack. It also means that in principle, you can still use 0 and 1, even in 2013. But I always go via this foreign key relationship. And then I look for the test wired and wireless. No, Wi-Fi. Let me show you what I mean here in the demo. It's a curse to become older and not being able to see anything. So here you see the table, and you can see two, and we have a new name for it, so that's internet. And the value two are coming from link 2013. So in a 2010 environment, you will only have one and zero. And then there is other values, like I said, mobile broadband. That's voice over 3G from the mobile clients. But I'm not using that value in my queries. So there is no difference. It's the same. So in the query, I use both values. It's just that in 2013, they decided to use Ethernet. And I don't know why they decided that. Let's try to put it all together. So the queries are all built using this concept again, where we join the sessions, media line, session, media line, audio stream, and then we join on user agent for caller and callee, and network connection detail for caller and callee. In this way, we can see, okay, which type of UA is talking? Is it AVMQ mediation? Is it in wired or wireless? So that's the basic structure of the joins in all the queries. Let's look at the queries we have. So all the queries is about surfacing the information in the QoE. And we have these different queries that we have discussed also in part one. So device, system, relay, VPN transport, and so on. Let's look at the trending queries and how they are built. The trending queries, they are all about looking at network health expressed by packet loss and packet loss rate, packet loss rate and packet loss rate max. And we define a poor stream to be a stream where either one of these conditions or both are true. So packet loss rate larger than 1% or packet loss rate max larger than 5%. And if you were let me wait for that. And then for all the trending queries, we sum up per day. So the output will be for the day, how many streams were poor, and then the ratio of poor streams. And then we have the query type. And the idea is that you can then copy and paste from Management Studio into Excel and use Excel as your analytic engine. And in the first session, we announced that we also have a PowerShell script available to enable you to run the queries without using Management Studio. That query will generate the CSV file, and then you need to load it into Excel yourself. We are also working on trying to make it more automated than that. The other thing I should say is that the queries are working with SQL Server versions 2008 and above. Some customers have used 2005, and the queries that I created are not working with 2005. I have luckily received the 2005 queries. So if you have 2005, you can send an email to that feedback alias, cqmfeedback@microsoft.com, and I will give you either the changes you need to make or the actual queries. So why are we using those conditions? So as you might know, we have a poor call, classified poor call flag that are using a host of other conditions, 5 actually for audio. Why did we only focus on packet loss rate and max packet loss rate? We wanted to do that because we wanted to surface problems in the network. It's not, the way we do it is we are so stringent. I mean, we are like very harder on the conditions that the normal product condition. But it's our experience that when you surface these things, you see the errors, the issues, and then you can do something about it before it becomes noticeable, perhaps, by the end users. And if you have more than 1% packet loss in your network, in your data center, probably something is wrong. So that's why we are using it. We also, So as I said, here are the five the 5 conditions that we are looking at. And in part one, we had more description on these parameters and the values that they look at. We have we have worked with customers where the issue was not packet loss rate. The issue for them were round trip time. So one of my demos at the end, I will show how you can just change the query to look at round trip. You just change one place, and then you can use the same kind of methodology and process that we go through and just focus on round trip. So what is the query structure for the trending queries? So they all, and we have 10 and 11 with the total trending query, they all look at audio stream using these relevant condition of what kind of media paths are we looking at, AV, MCU to mediation, internal and external, and so on. And then they create what is known as a common table expression or a view in SQL. And then I do some manipulation of the views and output this standard set of columns as you have seen previously. So the date, all streams, post streams, and so on, and the type of query that that we're looking at. So let's try to see if we can demo that. It should be easier to find the right demo when Demo 6, yeah, that's the one. So here, you see the structure. First, I look at the begin time and end time. And here you need to be careful, because if you have data for more than a year and you select that date range, it will take time. When I run it again, our internal database, if I look at a year, it takes 30 minutes before the query returns data. And that gives a long development time if you suddenly realize that you wanted to look at something else. So what I do is I look at my own demo database where I know what data I have, and then when I know the query is correct, I run it against the internal database with all the data. So that's the date, and then I use the date format 105 to get it out the way I want. And then I just look at start time, conference date time, and here you see the caller UA. Caller UA type and callee UA type. So what type of client are we looking at? And then I have the condition, packet loss rate. So this is exactly the pace where you would have to change it if you was looking at someone else, something else than packet loss. Then I do the joins. User agent. I look at insight. And in this particular case, I'm looking at the trend between AV, MCU, and mediation server. So I'm saying the caller needs to be either AV, MCU, or mediation, and the callee needs to be either AV, MCU, and mediation server. So the streams are going in both directions. And that is creating the view with full linked join view. And then I have this construction where I have a union where I first look at the streams going from 2 to 1, and then I look at the streams going from 1 to 2 afterwards. And that's also common in the way I've created the queries. And then I union them together. That means I get the common set of all streams. And then I do the counting, and I do the ratio calculation. And then at the end, I output the data, all streams, poor streams, the ratio, and the query type. And let's see if it actually works. It does not. And what is the case? So I had selected that case statement. That was the problem. So when I clicked execute, it only executed the case statement. Sorry about that. So here you see in my lab environment, I had 4 streams, and none of them were poor. So I'm a happy camper. And so are my users, test user 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6, and so on. OK. So that was the queries. I wanted, yeah, before I move it to the next level, any questions about the queries? OK. Let's move it to the next level. I don't know if you recalled it, but one of the queries look at devices and look at of the quality this send listen must from the capture calling device. And the idea is, as we have talked about, is to show which device are behaving well and which are behaving poor, and then give you that information, and then you can decide if you want to give users with poor devices better devices. There is one challenge with working with devices in the QoV database, and that is the name of the device is generated by the actual device name and the USB port it's plugged into and the localization. So if it's a German client, it will be Haut something, and so on. You get the idea. So that's a challenge because you want to look at, for instance, one specific type of device, the GN 2000 OC USB device. But you don't know, I mean, how many people have plugged it into USB port 1, how many to USB port 2, and so on. So we needed to come up with a solution for that problem. And let me show you first the problem and then the solution. Yeah. Here, I have run the normal device query. Sorry. And you can see the problem. You have 6 here. You have headset. You have microphone and so on. I mean, a lot of different names, which actually is the same device. And let me try to make it more visible. So here you get it. Now I'm only looking at this specific device, GN 2000 USB OC. So I've put in a variable here just to show you. And you see, it's amazing, right? Because all these are in fact the same device, but this guy just plugged it into a Dutch version of the link client. So that's the problem you face. And what is the solution? The solution is the following. I created a PowerShell script which reads all these devices, the names of the devices, and then I do a lot of string manipulation in PowerShell to try to extract the actual device name. And then I store that device name in a helper database. And then I have a version of the query which looks only at these devices. Sorry, the names where I've like extracted the real device name from the string. And I wanted to show. That. You could, but I just wanted to make sure that the query would do the hard work for you. Yeah, so that's also what I did. I got some data from a customer. I took internal Microsoft data, and some of these devices have very interesting names. You might look in your own deployment and see. So I use that, but it's clear I need to retrain this script over time. So where is it? Yeah. Yeah, I just, if you see, let me try to. So what I'm doing is I'm looking for, I mean, it's basic stuff. I look what's inside the parentheses, and then I have like a for loop with 1-2- and so on, and then I have some special cases I looked at in the data, right? So it's not scientific, it's not like a Microsoft supported part of Link, but it's like my solution to the problem. Yes, and it's not. We don't have a solution like in the product because we get it from the operating system, and that's what we use. So let me see. So I don't know. If you do the arithmetic, it should be exactly the same number of streams for all these different things that I have now here. And the beauty is I'm now averaging this over all the devices. In the other thing, I'm averaging over the specific instance for a USB port and localization. So that's the trick. And when you do, when you use that script, you can generate something like this one. This is from one of my customers who helped me develop it. I used his data to test it. But the idea is, see, you sort the devices based on this average send listen mods, that's the blue line. And then he has like max and mean. And then what we say in our talk is, look at the first USB device, that's typically around 3.6, and then use that as your cutoff factor. But also, as Andrew said in part one, we see some of the newer laptops actually having better values than the USB devices. So you need to look at your deployment and see for yourself. But that's where this 3.6 value comes from. Is historically, it was the first USB device showing up at 3.6. The next challenge I want to talk about is this with VPN. So the query we have used the flag, the VPN flag in QoE, and that flag is only set if the VPN software sets it in the operating system. And we have had several customers where it didn't work because their VPN software didn't set that flag. So we needed to come up with a solution. And the solution that I came up with was to specify the known VPN subnets and then add them as a condition in the query. And let me try to show you that. And I know, I mean, that can become quite complex in a real environment, but what I did. So what have we left? Yeah, so here I have the VPN query and I have created a variable called VPN subnets and I have added my VPN subnets. For the first instance, I only added the subnet 10.1.2.0 And if I run the query, I get no streams because I don't have that actual subnet in my environment. But if I say that the subnet I have in my lab is actually a VPN subnet by removing the comment here, then suddenly all my streams are now flagged as VPN streams. And that's so what you need to do is just to add your VPN subnets here. I don't know of a, you can probably create another table with VPN subnets and use that, but to show a simple solution, I use this. Sorry. When we are working with the customers, they often tell us that now they have seen they have a problem, but now they want to understand more about the data, surface more data than what we have in the queries. And that's where basically this session will help those customers because they need to develop queries themselves to go more into details of the actual issues they see. To help with that process, I have come up with two queries to represent the scenarios where you have people are reporting that for a specific subnet there are problems and for a specific user is complaining about problems. So those queries will then just look at those specific subnets and those specific users. So let me try to demo that. So this, let me do demo one. So this query surface information relevant for all streams coming from a specific subnet. So you see I've defined a variable with the subnet and then I'm just using that, I'm using that condition here to only give me calls originating on that subnet. And then I'm surfacing information that I know would be interesting in troubleshooting a given subnet and given media stream. So is it a classified poor call, the conversational MOS, who is calling, are they on the internet wired? This caller subnet we know, but where are they calling to? Is the calling, the callee, is that Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and so on? Which subnet, and then some of the media statistics, packet logs, jitter, and so on, round trip, all these things. Which payload is the forward error correction in use, and so on. So that's an idea to surface more information about calls from a different subnet. And in the other query, I have basically, I'm showing the same information, but here I'm looking for streams either from one user or between two users. In this case, I have one user and his own audio conference. And so what I do is I have a selection here of only looking at streams for this particular user. And if I wanted, I could do callee user. Something like this, right? So let's try first without. So that shows all the call that this particular user made in the time period. And then if I add who he is calling to the conference, I only get two because that's the stream he had in the conference in this time period. Okay. How are you on time? I think we are doing fine. So I just wanted to show some examples of the way that we report data. We also showed these graphs in the first part. But when we work with the customers, we get the data, and then we create a graph like this where we look at the different media paths and how many streams were good, the green, and how many were poor over a certain date range. So in this case, it's all streams in 2013. And that gives you an idea of where you should like focus your energies. Then we also look at only the distribution of the poor streams. So in this case, you see that the majority of the poor streams are coming from external customers, external users. And maybe there is no idea for this particular customer to focus on making that better because they can't control the network from the external users in most cases. Then we also show the trending charts. So taking the data from the all streams, poor streams, and the poor stream ratio, and just showing them the trend. You can see here the trend is upwards. So that specifies a problem. And then in the networking guide, we have other queries, and we tell you what to do then to focus and look what is exactly the problem when it trends upwards and try to solve that problem. The last slide, just some tips and tricks. As I said, develop your queries using a smaller data set where you know more or less the data you have, because then you are sure that what you get is actually what you are supposed to be getting. And it's also a lot quicker to develop the scripts, the queries when they are not like huge amounts of data. And then doing all the joins are expensive. So fine-tune the scripts to avoid joins if you want to. For instance, I always do that network detail Wi-Fi, but if you want to optimize performance, you could use the condition one instead of the actual test. That will make at least one join less or two joins less in the query, and that will speed up the performance. Okay, that concludes my presentation, and I have exactly 2 minutes to answer any questions. We will also be in the pavilion from 3 o'clock to 3:30 in the Microsoft booth, so feel free to join us there. And one last thing, we have more posters. We have, like, so feel free to take posters, the CQM posters there, and the KHI poster. And the very last thing, do the evals, right? We appreciate the evals and the feedback, and you can probably look at the eval and understand what is the score that we are interested in getting. Okay, thanks for coming.